Consequently, she was known as Durbhaga, ill-fated. However, she was once pleased with the great king, and because the king accepted her, she granted him a benediction. Purport is Bhaktivinoda Thakur Singh's Sabsukha Bhagavah, all kinds of happiness disappear in old age. Consequently, no one likes old age or Jara unless Jara, as the daughter of time, is known as most unfortunate daughter. She was, however, at one time accepted by a great king, Yayati. Yayati was cursed by his father, Sukracharya, to accept her. When Sukracharya's daughter was married to King Yayati, one of her friends named Sharmishta went with her. Later, King Yayati became very much attached to Sharmishta, and Sukracharya's daughter complained to her father. Consequently, Sukracharya cursed King Yayati to become prematurely old. King Yayati had five beautiful sons, and he begged all his sons to exchange their youth for his old age. No one agreed except the youngest son, whose name was Puru. Upon accepting Yayati's old age, Puru was given the kingdom. It is said that two of Yayati's other sons, being disobedient to the father, were given kingdoms outside of India, most probably Turkey and Greece. The purport is that one can accumulate wealth and all kinds of material opulence, but during old age one cannot enjoy them. Although Puru attained his father's kingdom, he could not enjoy all the opulence he had sacrificed his youth. One should not wait for old age in order to become Krishna conscious. Due to the invalidity of old age, one cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness, however opulent he may be materially. When I came to this earth from Brahmaloka to the highest planet Parasis, the daughter of time wandering over the universe met me. Knowing me to be an avowed brahmachari, she became lusty and proposed that I accept her. Purport, the great sage Narada Muni was a nice stupid brahmachari, that is, he never had sex life and was constantly given evergreen youth. Old age, Jara could not attack him. The invalidity of old age can overcome any ordinary man, but Narada Muni was different. Taking Narada Muni to be an ordinary man, the daughter of time confronted him with a lusty desire. It requires great strength to resist a woman's attraction. It is difficult for old men to speak of young. Those who live as brahmacharis must follow in the footsteps of the great sage Narada Muni, who never accepted the proposal of Jara. Those who are too much sexually addicted become victims of Jara, and very soon their lifespan is shortened. Without utilizing the human form of life for Krishna consciousness, the victims of Jara die very soon in this world. The great sage Narada continued, when I refused to accept her request, she became very angry at me and cursed me severely. Because I refused her request, she said that I would not be able to sit in one place for a long time. Purport, the great sage Narada Muni has a spiritual body, therefore old age, disease, birth, and death do not affect him. Narada is the most kind devotee of the Supreme Lord, and his only business is to travel all over the universe and preach God consciousness. In other words, the business is to make everyone a Vaishnava. Under the circumstances, there is ordinary need, no need for him to stay in one place for more than the time he requires to preach. Since by his free will, he is already traveling all over the universe, the curse of Kala Kanya is described as fortunate. Like Narada Muni, many other devotees of the Lord are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord in different places in different universes. Such personalities are beyond the jurisdiction of material laws. After she was thus disappointed by me, with my permission, she approached the king of the Yadavas, whose name was Maya, or Fear, and she accepted him as her husband. Therefore, being the most perfect Vaishnava, Sri Narada Muni is always willing to do good to others, even to one who curses them. Although Kala Kanya, the daughter of time, was refused by Narada Muni, she was given her shelter. Of course, no one can give her shelter, but a Vaishnava gives shelter somewhere for such an unfortunate girl. When Jara old age attacks, everyone dwindles and deteriorates. In one stroke, Narada Muni gave shelter to Kala Kanya and counterattacked the ordinary karmas. If one accepts the instructions of Narada Muni, the ocean of fear can be very quickly removed by the grace of that great Vaishnava. My dear King Prachinavarsha, at this time the daughter of formidable time was seeking her husband throughout the world, so no one agreed to accept her. She came. The daughter of time was very unfortunate, constantly known as Durbhaga. However, she was once pleased with the great king, and because the king accepted her, she granted him a benediction. when I once came to this earth from Brahmaloka, the highest planetary system, the daughter of time, wandering all of the universe, met me, knowing me to be a vow brahmachari, she became lusty and proposed that I accept her. When I refused to accept her request, she became very angry at me and cursed me severely. Because I refused her request, she said that I would not be able to stay in one place for a long time. After she was thus disappointed with me, with my permission, she approached the king of the Yavanas, whose name was Maya, here, and she accepted him as her husband. So this continues the allegory, or the symbol story of King Puranjana. So this portion deals with the death of King Puranjana, how his city was attacked by the Yavanas, and ultimately he had to leave that city. The city was burned down. So various factors are involved in the destruction of the human body. So of course time is a factor, but time is represented in terms of destruction by the aging process. So Jara, or old age, is personified here as the daughter of time. And it describes her as wandering around everywhere, and she looked for a husband. And then she found a husband in the form of the king of the Yavanas by the grace of Narada Muni. And her husband was fear. And so fear and old age are somehow got linked together in this process. And then, of course, we find that Puranjana, he gets old, and then he gets destroyed by the soldiers of time, the Gandharva, with all the soldiers, that is the days and nights attack, and in old age he ultimately has to leave his body. So that is the basic story. So we have the city, which is the body, and we have the senses, which are the openings in the body, represented by the different gates. We have the jiva within the body, represented by Puranjana, which means the person in the city. And we have his queen, represented by the intelligence. We have the snake with the five heads, representing the pranas. So we have his he and his body there. And then we also have the states outside, which means the objects of the senses, etc. So in this way, the living entity generally tries to enjoy within the material body by contacting objects outside. That's the basic analogy. And then the misfortune is that the body must get old and die, and the jiva must leave that body along with the subtle body. So that is what is described here. Previously, his enjoyment of the senses was described, how he liked the city and he was enjoying the different gardens, etc. So now the city gets attacked in various ways through the influence of time. So one of the attacks, of course, is old age. Old age means that gradually the senses don't work properly, the body doesn't work properly. And of course, along with this will come diseases of various sorts. So that means the city no longer functions properly and you can't get your enjoyment. So we have disease, old age, and then finally death. That's the final thing where one has to leave the body or leave the city completely. So this chapter describes how Puranjana was forced to eventually leave the city because it was unsuitable for living. He could not get any enjoyment in that city because it got destroyed. And then, of course, he took another body because of that. And because he was attached to his wife, he got a woman's body in his life. So this is a story to educate the king. Narada Muni tells this story to educate the king, to make him give up his attachment to the things in the material world. He was too much involved in karma kanda sacrifices, etc. So he didn't want to waste his time on that. So therefore, he told him the story
to make him detached from the material body and make him understand that the Atma actually doesn't belong to this material world and to this city, whatever like that. So he presents, Narada Muni presents his topic through a story like this. Instead of simply stating the philosophy, you're not the body and therefore you should not be attached to material enjoyment, he shows this rather dramatically through the form of a person attached to his material body by being attached to a city and then having the city destroyed, etc. So in this way he emphasizes the point of the foolishness of accepting and enjoying within the material body, because ultimately it will cause you great pain, and then you have to leave that body, and then you have to get another body, and then adapt to that body and try to enjoy that body. So the futility of going from body to body and trying to enjoy is illustrated by this allegory of Paranjana, going from body to body. So though the king was, he wasn't a sinful person, he was overly attached to the sacrifices and consequently also killed too many animals in that process. So that was the fault of his attachment to Kamakanda. And therefore Narada Muni criticized this, that he wanted to stop that and instead become more serious about spiritual life. So the intention of Narada Muni, of course, is ultimately to bring the king to the position of bhakti. Narada Muni is the avatar, Shaktivesh avatar, in charge of bhakti. His particular shakti is bhakti, to impart bhakti to people of the material world. So where he goes, he tries to educate people concerning bhakti. So his desire here was to bring King Prashnabharasha out of illusion of being too attached to the karma section, and bring the position of bhakti by this story. But of course, it's not direct. We don't see directly bhakti here. We don't see the Paranjana involved in bhakti at any point, whatever. At this point, later on, we finally get an understanding in his next lifetime. Then he gets an understanding of that he's not the body, and that the Paramatma exists, etc. So he gets a little bit of a higher understanding there. So this part of the story is not directly about bhakti, but simply the first step, and that is to understand you're not the material body. This is the same approach taken by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, where the first step in educating Arjuna is to tell him you're not the material body. Then he goes back and starts talking about karma yoga later on. So he gives him a little knowledge first, and then he starts talking about the different processes, bhakti and then karma yoga and jnana yoga after that. So this is often a strategy used in the scriptures, to begin by identifying the person as not the body, etc. And then describing the details of processes after that point. So that is why here we don't get the discussion of bhakti in all these other chapters here. And later on, we get the existence of the Supreme Lord mentioned. So as I mentioned, this is some sort of strategy used, and that is why we will see in the scriptures itself that it often looks like jnana is prominent, and that is why the people that say that the scriptures actually are talking about jnana, not about bhakti, because we'll find a lot of this idea that you're not the body, you are the Atma in the Upanishads. So it's a basic strategy to get one detached from the material body. So just as this story is doing this, and Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita also does this, so many of the Upanishads also take this approach and emphasize you're not the material body, you are the Atma, etc. But we should also realize this is not the ultimate stage. So though Krishna starts with this in the Bhagavad Gita, that's not his final conclusion. So the final conclusion is different. So similarly, we should not take all of this subject matter in the Upanishads and think that therefore the conclusion must be simply I'm not the body, I'm the Atma. There is higher conclusions also, but it's one step, a first step. So that is basically what these Upanishads that deal with jnana do. They take you one step forward. So, therefore, we should not be under illusion and think that because of the emphasis on jnana there, therefore jnana is the ultimate process. It's simply one step. So, as far as the Bhagavatam is concerned, we will see that the knowledge is given in a more balanced way. And we'll see that, yes, jnana is there, and understanding that not the material body is given, but we also get the higher aspects given. And they're actually more emphasized in the Bhagavatam. So we get a better picture of the complete truth through the Bhagavatam than in the Upanishads. What is the proof? The story. You'll see the story later on. He becomes a woman in the next chapter. And then he gets married to a king, and the king dies, and then she laments, and then a Brahmin appears and starts talking about that you're not the body. So it's just a story, but the story is told here. And why he became? Because of his attachment. Just as Bharat was attached to a deer, so he became a deer. So he was attached to his wife, so he became a woman. Well, it is part of the bhakti knowledge also. In jnana, it is the only knowledge. Everything else is rejected. So that's the problem with jnana.
Atma Satchidananda already has some knowledge, inherent knowledge.
What's that?
Atma has embedded knowledge in itself.
Well, it has capacity. We can't say it has the knowledge, because if it had the knowledge, it wouldn't be in ignorance.
And Prabhupada says, Buddha is already an empire. It comes to one another fire and thanks.
Yeah. So it has a potential, but that we can't say that he has the knowledge, because if he did have the knowledge, then he would be ignorant. Or we can say his knowledge is covered in one sense. But at the same time, that's not a complete statement, because if we just take remove ignorance, we will get liberation. You don't get prema. So therefore, to get prema, you have to cultivate something. And so it's not just that it's there and it's covered up, just like if you have a can of tomatoes and you open it up, you get tomatoes. No? So if you had prema already in your jiva, then when you got rid of your ignorance, then you would have prema, but you don't. Simply by destroying ignorance, you get up again, you would emerge in Brahman.
Ignorance cannot be fully removed.
No, you can't get liberation unless you have no ignorance. So liberation in Brahman means no ignorance, but it doesn't mean prema. So to actually get prema, you have to do something else, that is bhakti. Then the jiva will manifest prema. But without that bhakti, simply removing ignorance doesn't work. So we say there's a potential there, but it's not really manifest until you do bhakti.
गंधराज से सुसुमत बागवत की जय सुसुमत महाराज की जय जीवन के सुसुमत के नाम से प्रणाम प्रभुपाद की जय आलोक समय
Okay, just a minute.